We continue to read Jesus' instruction on prayer. We can see it's clearly a continuation from yesterday. The apostles asked, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. And he answered in yesterday's gospel with the Lord's Prayer. And this gospel is the continuation of it. So it's the second day in a row on prayer. Or if you want to stretch it a little bit, because I did speak about prayer on Tuesday as well, this is the third day. On Tuesday I mentioned this year, 2024, is a year of prayer in preparation for the Jubilee year next year. And the gospel that day was on Martha and Mary, and both of them were praying. Mary was praying silently and listening, and Martha was praying by complaining to the Lord. But the point I tried to make yesterday is that our prayer, or one of the points I tried to make yesterday, is that our prayer is not to be boxed into formal rituals or techniques. We're addressing God as our Father. It's a familiar term. It's a relational term, and prayer is all about the relationship we have with God. In trying to make that point, I blundered a couple of times in my pronunciations or mispronunciations, so this gives me a chance to correct myself. I was using as an example the familiar term that the people of Parañaque use for this yesterday's saint, who I called Saint Denis, and the Filipino term for him is San Dionisio, and the term in San Dionisio Barangay in Parañaque is, well, it's spelled D-U-N-E, and I said it's Tatadun, and that's wrong. It's Tatadune. So, pretty bad if I'm trying to talk about being familiar and knowing God in an intimate way, and I can't even pronounce the name of the saint. Well, then I found out after the Mass, not only did I mispronounce Tatadune, but even in English, he's not Saint Denis, he's Saint Denis. That's the French pronunciation. So they call him Saint Denis, but in English he's called him Saint Denis. So I messed that up very badly. But my point is still that when we're, and the reason why that's bad is because I'm talking about familiar relationships, and if we don't even know how to pronounce a person's name, it means we don't really know him very well. Well, so that seems to ruin the point I was trying to make yesterday, but then we get this parable, which is the very next thing. And this parable seems to ruin the point as well, because Jesus tells this surprising example of a friend seeking loaves from his neighbor, and the friend inside his house says, "Don't bother me. Don't bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything." Which doesn't sound like a very friendly, familiar, intimate, open, warm relationship with someone. It sounds like a closed door. Now, why did Jesus use this example? Not because God's response to our prayer is, "Don't bother me." That's not what God says. But when we don't experience the answer that we expect, the answer to our prayer that we expect, it can seem as if God has indeed shut the door on us and acted as if he doesn't want to be bothered with what we think is so important. And that is a very common experience. So I think even though it's a surprise that Jesus uses this image for prayer, it's actually a brilliant example because it addresses our real experience. We pray, we ask, we don't receive. We seek, we don't find. We knock, and the door doesn't seem to open. And it seems as if God says, "Do not bother me, the door has already been locked." Now, if you look a little more deeply, you can see that even that is an answer. To say the door is already locked, if that's what the Lord says, meaning this isn't the response that's good for you. This is not what I'm going to do for you. But it's not that I'm ignoring your prayer. It's that I have something else in mind for you. Now, that's not the point Jesus makes. Because the point Jesus makes here is that if the friend inside the house doesn't give loaves because of friendship, he will end up giving the loaves because of the persistence of the one asking. So the lesson of the parable is persistence. Keep praying. Keep asking. Don't take no for an answer. Don't turn away from the Lord and seek from somewhere else, or turn away from the Lord and assume that he doesn't care about what you're saying or what you're asking. That's how it seems, but in fact, that is a wrong impression. So this parable is telling us, persevere in prayer. And the very next lines are the famous lines about prayer. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. You see what Jesus does here? Right after getting a parable that seems to say the Lord is not going to answer you, he immediately says, no, the Lord is going to answer you. And then he goes back to where we started yesterday when they asked the Lord, teach us to pray. The very first thing he said is, Father, our Father. The very beginning of prayer, the very foundation of prayer is our relationship with the Father. And that's what Jesus does after this surprising parable and then these strong encouragements to pray. He says, well, why does prayer work? Why does the asking lead to receiving? Why does the seeking lead to finding? And why does knocking lead to the door being opened? Not because of what you do, but because of who God is. The power of prayer doesn't come from our technique or even our persistence. It comes from the goodness of God. That's why prayer works, if you want to use that expression, prayer works. And why? Because if earthly fathers, he says here, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The comparison is the relationship of earthly fathers with their children, and they know how to give good things to their children, at least they want to. How much more does our Father in heaven, who is all good and who wants even more to give good things to his children, give us good things? So that's the foundation. When we experience what seems to be a locked door or an answer like, don't bother me, we have to dismiss that or set it aside and rest on the truth that God wants to give us good things more than we want to ask. He wants to give us more than we even ask for. You might have noticed that in the collect of today's Mass. God will give what prayer does not even dare to ask. Now, Jesus specifies what our Father in heaven wants to give us, the Holy Spirit. And that leads us to the connection with today's first reading, because St. Paul is reflecting on how the Galatians received the Holy Spirit. How did they experience the gift of faith and the Holy Spirit? And he gives a number of strong, challenging questions. In fact, he addresses them as the stupid Galatians. He's not out to curry their favor or to impress them or try to placate them. He's correcting them. You stupid Galatians. How stupid can you be? Why are they being stupid? Because they are putting their emphasis on what they do, meaning fulfilling the law or practicing works of the law, rather than on who God is, the loving Father who wants to give good things to his children. And this is the big mistake. It's clearly stupid, but it's also very common that when we relate to God, we subtly shift our focus back on ourselves. Either on our supposed goodness, we did this good thing or said this good prayer or made this good sacrifice, therefore we deserve to be treated well, therefore we've earned God's love, or we focus on ourselves and what we've done badly, our sins, our shameful thoughts, actions, words, and therefore God can't love us and can't bless us. Both of those errors are completely wrong because they're focused on us. And they take the position that our relationship with God is all based on us, what we do or don't do.
That's really stupid.
I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm just using, I'm quoting from the scriptures. That's stupid. He says it twice. Are you so stupid? Why is it stupid? Because the whole story here is the love of God, not the behavior of man, not the legal fulfillment that we accomplish. That's why Paul says, among the many questions, he says, does the one who supplies the Spirit to you, that's the Father, does the one who supplies the Spirit to you and works mighty deeds among you do so from works of the law or from faith in what you heard? Does God act in goodness to us because of what we have done or because we have opened ourselves to what he wants to do? And the right answer, the smart answer, is no, faith. Faith meaning a response, a yes to what God says, what he reveals, what he offers, what he does. And that's what we do when we pray. We open ourselves in faith. We open our hearts, make a yes to his will, even when we don't understand what he's doing, and even when it seems as if he's saying, don't bother me, the door's locked, we still open ourselves to him in prayer. Because that's the smart thing to do. The stupid thing to do is to focus back on ourselves and on how we are going to convince God to love us or make him do what we want. No. Stupid. Smart, your will be done, Lord. We go back to what we learned in yesterday's gospel, the Our Father. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. In me as it is in heaven. In my situation as it is in heaven. So send your Holy Spirit, Lord, on me, on my loved ones, on all the situations I pray for, because that's what you want to do, is give us your Holy Spirit.